waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
It's Super Bowl 51. We're going to be telling you who the winner is before it's even announced, before the game's even played. That's tongue-in-cheek, but that's coming up. We're going to get into this federal court trying to block Trump and a lot more. Key transmission, several guests as well. But first, another riveting, piercing report from John Baum. Tell everybody something right now. I want to tell all the fake libertarians and all the fake conservatives and all the never-Trumpers something. I'm not talking to liberals right now. Brainwashed, you know, zombies, they don't listen. They just scream, KKK, go away, KKK, go away.
No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA.
This checkpoint is closed. This checkpoint is closed. This checkpoint is closed. This checkpoint is closed.
And then, so who are you with?
I'm not letting you take
it. What's that?
I'm not going to let you take it either.
This looks like political violence designed to squelch opinions the perpetrators of that violence disagree with. Am I reading it correctly?
That's exactly what it is. The most particularly scary and particularly should be particularly troubling is it not only happened on an American college campus, you know, supposedly in the land of the free, you know, these places where you should be able to engage with different ideas, places where you should be able to hear speakers and students who come to my talks who don't necessarily agree with me but just want to hear the other side.
I want to talk to people who claim they're asking for the Second Amendment and claim they're for sovereignty and all the rest of it, who still can't admit they were wrong about Trump and come up to me on the street or you know, in emails I get or comments I see on YouTube. Oh, yeah, Alex, what about Goldman Sachs?
This is a whole cabinet full of rich guys and gals who I'm sure have lots of favors in there.
As long as Trump goes out and actually gets people that know how to guide him through the globalist wilderness, like Lewis and Clark, and as long as it's our anti-New World Order, pro-America, pro-human agenda that gets done, I'm all for it. I made the analogy of I don't care if he has a goblin guide that leads him into the mines of Moria, as long as, you know, I don't catch him kissing goblins.
At the age of 22, after graduating from Yale, I got a job at Goldman Sachs, where I spent the next 17 years. I started on a folding chair in the mortgage department. 9 years later, after many sleepless nights, I was put in charge of mortgages, U.S. government bonds, municipal securities. Several years after that, I worked directly for future Secretary of the Treasury, Hank Paulson, as the firm's chief information officer. In that role, I oversaw 5,000 people and a $1 billion budget.
And we haven't seen that happen, have we? No, he's got the goblins under his control, and they're doing exactly what he says and clicking their heels when he gives orders and then running off their little gleaming eyes into the night to do his work. That's true genius. Of course, he brought in top architects from inside the enemy operation to help know where to place the plastic explosives for the controlled demo that we're now witnessing. And his guides have taken him through the inner workings of it. He already had a good understanding as an outsider billionaire who was able to defeat their monopolies himself. Because Trump is all about one man doing it his way, defeating them. And he sees us as him. And our victories and our successes is his. Look at him getting on a helicopter, not telling the press where he's going. I love it. I relish it. Going out to Fort Meade to pick up the remains of the Navy SEAL that died, battling the Al-Qaeda globalist forces that John McCain and Hillary and all the rest of them turned loose in the Middle East and into Africa. How presidential is that? Personally meeting the family. And there's optimism, and the globalists are trying to kill that optimism. And now he's over-delivering at breakneck speed, as they say, an obsession, because his will, his name, his family, his honor, his treasure is bound to America and the planet succeeding, and that's what it is when you believe in humanity. It's exhausting, but it's exhilarating, and it's empowering, and all these inbred elites were given their power hereditarily, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation, so they don't understand that, and they just look down on everybody and want to make everybody poor so they can manage them and control them. With Trump, he's fully in. He has merged his essence with the Republic and restoring things. And so that's why Trump will not betray you.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people.
Americanism not globalism, will be our credo.
This is the heart of 1776.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Huge nationwide protests erupted once again on President Donald Trump's second weekend in office.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
From the front lines of the InfoWar, it's Alex Jones.
No!
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Poor white people. Please. Oh, my. Stop.
So there's Donald Trump saying unify everybody, race, religion, creed under America and freedom and prosperity. And you have the leftist all over mainstream news, including CNN hosts saying, oh, poor white people, when it shows them being pulled out of their cars and beaten just because they're white. And when they won't let speakers speak at Berkeley, and women are beaten, and men are beaten, and cars are burned up. The media, including the dean of the school and the lawmakers in California, say, this is good. We're going to get violent. Robert De Niro goes on The View and says, I want to punch Donald Trump in the face because he's a bully, and you got to fight bullies like a bully. No, Donald Trump's not a bully. The globalists have completely bullied this country into submission, and now we're standing up. More than 100 nations have travel bans on countries. Japan has travel bans on the very Muslim countries and more that Trump put in. Because they know people coming in unvetted from Somalia are very, very dangerous. Somalia is not a failed civilization because it was never a civilization. Hundreds of major publications every week are calling for Donald Trump's murder. Republican and Democrat-appointed judges that are globalist-controlled are trying to block him, simply saying we can have borders. Did you know another federal court just as high said that what Trump's doing is under the Constitution, under law? But that got ignored, and the Ninth Circuit out of San Francisco said we didn't get any information in Trump's brief. So it's overturned. Until we get more info, it's on hold. But the public doesn't know about law, do they? They just hear, oh, the horrible, horrible Trump, even though he's just enforcing an Obama law. This is the bureaucracy, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Saudi Arabians, the Communist Chinese, the whole world, Hollywood. Everybody ganged up against America and Donald Trump. But something's happening. As Trump starts to bring jobs back, as Trump moves to cut taxes, as Trump moves to get banks to make small business loans, something that hadn't been done in 10 years. There's been a consolidation on purpose to make you poor by both parties. It's an admitted plan. As that happens, the grassroots of every color, who are all the same race, humanity, all bleed red blood, are waking up, and the poll numbers show him going straight up. He was at 41 before the election with skewed numbers. Now he's up at 60. And they're panicking because those are even polls targeting key demographics they believe will show low numbers for Trump. His real numbers are above 70 right now. Remember, I told you that during the election, and it was true. Because there are internal polls you can get, but when you go to major pollsters now, they're so controlled, they will not give you a public poll. It's under contract that you can set the parameters of that are actually fair, and the demographics you want polled that are fair. They have their methodology. So the fix was in, and that's now come out. I told you the fix was in with polls. So the fix is in, but even in their cooked polls, he's 19 points up in Rasmussen and Pew and Gallup and so many others. This is very exciting. That's the real news. So much to cover today. First, let's go to another powerful John Bound report that's up on InfoWars.com. We have more Paul Watson reports as well we're going to be premiering. National security endangered by Soros-motivated judge. Again, Soros and the EU want total open borders. Germany's taken 3 million, quote, migrants, 80% military-aged men. They're only taking more and more and more and more, and they're murdering, killing, stabbing. And when Germans criticize it, they get arrested. It's a total takeover plan to bring in third world populations the central banks control, and they make it look bad to want to stop that flow, as if a country can't decide who can come in and who can't. If you want to get into Australia, you got to jump through a bunch of hoops and have a bunch of money and prove that you're coming there with skills. You've got to have a couple million dollars in major skills they want to get into Switzerland. But other countries, France turns back. I've been flying into England before to cover Bilderberg and watch Canadian citizens that are supposedly part of the realm, part of the Commonwealth, turn back because they're activists in front of my eyeballs. No criminal record. But again, they play on the ignorance. Oh, my God, he wanted to stop these portal sweeties from Sudan that's waging a war against the Christians in the South. It's in a civil war. Oh, we're not taking people unvetted from a civil war zone? But when you fly in as a citizen, you get asked questions. No questions, folks. They're not allowed to turn you back with fake ID. That's what Obama did. We take these refugees under a UN program, and they decide who comes in. Let's go to John Bowen's report.
Seattle, Washington, federal judge James Robart based his judgment of the Trump administration's decision to follow through with a travel ban of seven Muslim countries as not rationally based. However, this purported logical judge was quoted by CNBC as stating, "Black lives matter." In August of 2016, Breitbart reported that the Black Lives Matter movement was funded by the U.S. National Security Public Enemy Number One, George Soros. In a detailed 69-page Open Society report on the agenda of an Open Society U.S. Programs Board meeting held in New York October 1st to October 2nd, 2015, a portion of the Soros-funded agenda read, "Recognizing the need for strategic assistance, the U.S. Programs Board approved $650,000 in Opportunities Fund support to invest in technical assistance and support for the groups at the core of the burgeoning Black Lives Matter movement. Furthermore, Soros's shaping of Black Lives Matter was used to alter the 2016 elections, oddly never mentioned by the Democrats, and their zeal to vaguely and solely blame the Russians. As a hacked Open Society document stated, leaders of Black Lives Matter and the movement for Black Lives worked to influence candidate platforms during the 2016 primary season. This came alongside the recent acknowledgement by political strategists that African American voters may be much more pivotal to the 2016 general election than previously forecasted." President Trump responded to Judge Robart in a tweet stating, "What is our country coming to? When a judge can halt a Homeland Security travel ban and anyone, even with bad intentions, can come into the U.S.
I don't work over in the United States. I work overseas, and I'm currently in Iraq, which is one of the countries that were on the list. And there's been a lot of discussion about the executive order. Obviously, in the United States, there's lots going on. And over here, there's a lot going on as well. Just a lot of things you all don't see. My simple question was, as an American, if I went out in town right now, would I be welcome? And they instantly said, absolutely not. You would not be welcome. And I said, okay, so what would happen if I went out in town? And they said, the locals would snatch me up and kill me within an hour. I'd be tortured first, and after they were done torturing me, I'd probably be beheaded. It would, you know, go on video for everybody to see as, you know, an example. And so I already knew this was going to happen, but I wanted to hear it from them. And, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, this is the local populace that would do this. This isn't ISIS. This isn't Al-Qaeda. This isn't the PMU. This isn't a militia from the Iranians or anything like that. This is the local populace that would do this. My question to them was pretty simple then after that. If you would do this to me in your country, why would I let you in my country? Because all this means to me is that...
That's right. We'll be back. Full reports on InfoWars.com. Stay with us. Massive coverage coming up.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
So you have a temporary ban for 90 days on people coming in from seven nations out of almost 200 countries who were unvetted, something previous presidents have done or similar things they've done. And the media hypes it that it's going to cause the stock market to go down. So the stock market had gained $1,200,000,000,000+. It's now lost a little bit of $100 billion. But the media is saying, see, the economy's going down. It's all over. Yay! Isn't that wonderful? But what they're not telling you is it's central banks around the world are now starting to raise interest rates. They came out when Trump got elected and they said, okay, we're just going to raise interest rates. That'll kill this nationalistic movement in the UK and the United States and Germany and Austria and Australia areas of Italy and just all over. Spain, you name it. So the globalists for almost 10 years, 9 years, have been giving themselves 0% interest, not to mention banker bailouts that are just trillions of dollars to themselves, that taxpayers have to back up. So they plunge the economy, then we have to back up their bad debts, and then they turn around and take the money we've loaned them and loan it back to us at incredible interest. And so the first thing Trump did when he got in, just 16 days ago, he's only had like 10 working days, but he's been working all 16. The first thing he did was to come in and say, let's start moving with banking regulations. Let me get my Treasury Secretary in there. They have totally blocked all the money being given to small businesses and individuals. Lending has just been shut off ever since interest went to zero, because why should the banks do that? They're the first handlers of the money, so they get it at zero, but only select mega banks. Trump said, no, sir. We're going to give 0% interest to the little banks, the local banks, the regional banks, the private banks, the banks that aren't part of the insider groups. Not just the six big ones, not just a bunch of foreign banks. We're going to give 0%. And Trump's pressuring the Federal Reserve right now. That is a consortium of private banks, but it's an intergovernmental meeting group. It's just kind of the council of the private banks. He's pressuring them to keep it low. Not that's even good overall, generally. We need some interest so people that save and invest make money. But while America and the world is in this long depression / recession for the average person, it's time for Main Street to get a bubble. Because when Main Street gets a bubble, you actually get a bridge built. You actually get a business built. You actually get some jobs. You actually get some money saved. You actually get some cars bought, some restaurants visited, some haircuts paid for, some new clothes, a new coat, some new shoes. Yes, these are dangerous bubbles. But they already created a mega bubble nobody can get out of unless we get the average person out of the bubble, because that's where you are able to rebuild an economy. But without getting some money to those people, it's not going to happen. This is 101 economics. Trump should be a superstar, loved by the general public or the average poor person. But the average poor person is a Democratic supporter, especially on the East and West Coast. And they just really think all their prosperity comes from the government. They don't even care if the stock market's up, because what? They don't own stock. They don't understand that those businesses are hiring a lot of times based off how their stock's doing. So there's danger in the Trump euphoria. There's danger in a bubble. There's danger in him betting on he can supercharge things. But here's the deal. The danger of not doing it is a guaranteed ongoing worldwide recession / depression that's meant to consolidate total control and pick winners and losers. So I've been hammering on this for 9 years, having economist after economist on. You've heard Ron Paul, big pessimist of every politician. He says, quote, a week ago, Donald Trump's doing a great job on the economy. I think it's too little too late, but he's doing a fantastic, he can pull the clip up, a fantastic job. Paul is one of the least complimenting people out there, okay? He's very, very, not mechanical, but he's just very, very dedicated to just being very, very machine-like. There's the headline exclusive. Ron Paul says Trump is trying to stop global collapse. Folks, it's because he is. Listen, I'm a smart guy. I'm going to be okay during a global collapse, okay? So many people are self-centered, though. They're like, well, I don't care, you know, if the general public, you know, gets hurt in this. And of course, I'll get hurt as well. But what's really going to hurt me is seeing my fellow Americans and others really going bankrupt, being on the street or living 10 people to a small house and not getting enough food. And I've seen this played out, this globalist program, over and over again in other countries. They have an admitted blueprint. In 2002, Joseph Stiglitz, who'd won the Nobel Prize twice, once for economics, left the World Bank as our chief economist. And he said, I will not be part of the criminal activity taking place and trying to make the public poor. Magically, thousands of pages got leaked right after he quit. He says it isn't him. He's been on the show 7 or 8 times. He says it's not him. But regardless, somebody leaked it. And you got to go read them. Greg Palast got the documents, published it to the BBC's credit back then. The BBC's almost completely worthless now. They did some good even back then, 2002. And it was the plan of the IMF and World Bank. Again, international meeting houses of mega banks. They're just the front groups, governmental name. It's the International Federal Reserve, basically, deciding to implode now the first world and make us debt slaves, kill the engines of production, the engines of liberty, the engines of upward mobility, and have a giant consolidation for political control. And even the liberal, Stiglitz, he's a big liberal. I disagree with him on lots of issues. He still had a soul and cared about poor people and working people, the middle class. I mean, we don't want just a bunch of billionaires and trillionaire globalists that then rule on like mountaintops that are all high tech and have electricity. And we're down here like it's just Ceausescu's Romania or Venezuela and don't have electricity most of the time and have kids starving in the streets. But that's the management tool of the globalist. That's what we're headed into. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, and by the way, a major federal judge at the same level as the other judge came out in a ruling, and Trump pointed this out in his weekly address yesterday, and ruled for Trump and said, absolutely, the president has the right to block certain countries, certainly for short periods of time. And Congress has the right to pass laws. And there are laws on the books, and gave this big ruling. And then the Ninth Circuit doesn't look at his ruling, looks at another judge's ruling. That's a big Soros guy appointed by George W. Bush. They're like, oh, look, he's appointed by George W. Oh, a Republican. The Republicans are our biggest problem. I mean, use your heads, ladies and gentlemen, and says, oh, no proof was given in the White House filing to us, because the circuit judge that they picked, other circuit judges, not just one, ruled for Trump. The circuit judge they then cherry pick gives his briefing. Trump puts his in, and they go, oh, not enough information, when they already had and under law are supposed to look at other comparable rulings by the same level of judges that was already on record. And Trump's brief mentioned that, but they just ignored it and said the president doesn't have the power to control who comes to the border. Obama opened the borders up completely and let all those people coming out of Latin America and places with TB and syphilis and everything else you can imagine. The plague has been coming in. Leprosy.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Remember the 2016 Illuminati Super Bowl halftime show? Beyonce, Katy Perry, Madonna, and Coldplay? All of them doing open satanic rituals. This time we're going to have the lady that was part of the spirit cooking, part of the whole Aleister Crowley events that Podesta and other Hillary minions go to in New York. The high priestess admits these are real rituals she's doing. And old Lady Gaga loves to go to those. She's going to be ruling over everyone on top of the stadium, reportedly in Houston. We've got Owen Schroyer and the rest of our crew down there reporting. He'll be popping in towards the end of the next hour. Roger Stone's popping in with a lot of new developments inside the Trump administration. But a lot of people are going to ask me, hey, why are you even here on Sunday when the Super Bowl's on? I could care less about the Atlanta. What are they? The Atlanta what's? Seriously, I'm having a Falcons. The Falcons. And the New England Patriots. Because I know this has all been built up and designed so that men put their normal male energies into watching a bunch of other overpaid, spoiled, rotten men involve themselves in what is proto-virtual reality. Sports is the original simulation of business and family and war and life. Sports is mainly war-type competition carried out. It's like my cat where I have a fake mouse on the end of a string and I drag it along and the cat chases it. The cat loves doing it because it has instincts to do it. But it's not a real mouse. By the way, my daughter's seen a mouse in the kitchen. I've never seen it. And the other day, my cat walks up with the little mouse, little gray mouse in its mouth, kind of sad. But the point was, he actually got a real mouse this time. She's got a toy on the end of a stick. It's like a mouse. He'll chase it around crazy for hours. He'll chase laser pointers, you name it. So will the dog. But see, I'm not a dog. I'm not a cat. And what all of this is the same thing. You're like, well, so what? Let them have fun. I get it. Sports are great for your kids to be in or for you to be in or to go see your friends in it. I'm not saying it's unhealthy overall. It's that the way it's force-fed and the messages they then couple to it, all the anti-gun messages, all the open border messages, all the anti-Trump messages, all the feminist anti-family garbage, all the green police Audi commercials, and then force-feeding us the devil worshiper, Lady Gaga, and all the weird rituals they conduct. And, ooh, it's the big pageant of the Super Bowl and the players coming in through like a spaceship entrance with glowing walls all around them. Like, this is the most magic thing in all the world. Nothing is more important. Meanwhile, we discovered 3 years ago via ICE sources, and it was later confirmed in the New York Times of all places. We were down in McAllen, Texas. And our reporters have it on tape. They admitted, yes, we're ordered to bring in illegals. Only 17% are actually children. It's adults. They're from the Middle East, China, Latin America, Europe, you name it. And a lot of them have serious diseases, and we're ordered to let them in. And we'd air these videos of senior Border Patrol telling us this, and they'd get 500,000 views. When other videos we do get 10 million. The most important stuff in the world, it was like, okay, so what? The president ignored federal law on how you're able to come through a port of entry with a proper passport, proper visa, time to be here, what your purpose is, check for, you know, diseases, check for vegetables, you know, things that are diseases in the plants, all of it. Because, you know, if you get one little egg pack of a type of beetle into Hawaii, that's going to wipe it out. Same deal. And they say, no, we don't care. It doesn't matter. Then we get a president that says, oh, seven nations. Obama's done four before, four of the same. He also bombed them at the same time. You're not vetted. You don't have real passports. Your governments have collapsed. We found you all these fake passports. We need to have extreme vetting, actually know who you are and run you through a database biometrically. And they said, oh, my gosh, you're the meanest racist in the world. And you can't do it, and you're horrible. And so one federal judge said Trump was right. Another federal judge, even more senior, said he was right, filed a brief. But then another judge said he was wrong. And so the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, the most globalist one out there, almost all of them appointed by Democrats, they come out and they say, that's right, Trump, we're not going to even look at what you're doing, basically, until you give us some other big filing. And then even then, if they refuse it, which they're sure to do, it'll take five of the Supreme Court justices to override it. And right now, the Supreme Court's 4-4 stalemate. So the media can then take Trump's perfect record of delivering and doing everything he said he would do, run around, get upset, say he's this horrible person, sell it like his agenda is fascist and evil, and then start calling for his impeachment, his murder, all the rest of it. When it's Obama and Hillary and John Kerry that destabilized the Middle East, caused the huge flow of refugees, and destabilized the whole place to try to help Saudi Arabia put all these jihadis in. So while we're all busy here, even debating what the media is doing, understand, Trump is doing his basic duty and even using laws that Obama signed And CNN even ran articles going, oh, look at Trump. He criticizes Obama all day, but he used an Obama law to do this. You know, I thought Obama's bad. The point is, of course, he should use an existing law without having to pass another one and then sign an executive order on top of it. But again, they're attacking him, saying it's illegal and bad and horrible, but then admitting out of the other side of their mouth, oh, look, he's copying Obama. Meanwhile, you've got the Washington Post is the only liberal publication to ask, how far can protests go? Well, not when there are riots or you're trying to kill people or beating people or burning up people's cars or trying to burn up Larry King's car. All because he's white. How far can protesters go before the government steps in? And that's because the Washington Post realizes the head of UC Berkeley, the legislature's come out and said, hey, Trump, you better not cut our federal funding. We're going to continue to not let people have events at universities. If the mob of people say they can't, we're bullies, we're thugs, we're going to stop you. I mean, I've got the news articles here where they're saying they had Robert Reich go on CNN Friday and say that it was Trump supporters that rioted at UC Berkeley. MSNBC, I played the clip Friday, said that Milo was throwing firebombs. Milo, the gay conservative activist, had nothing of any such. They lie and they lie and they lie. So let's go over some of the things they're now pushing against President Trump, because this is the group of bullies. This is the group of thugs. These are the people trying to shut down our free speech. Of course I want to punch him in the face. Robert De Niro slams Donald Trump again on The View and says when people are bullies, you have to bully them back. So if I want to just walk up to Robert De Niro because I know he acts tough in movies and I break his nose, I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I walk right up and I punch him up under the nose and actually tear his nose completely off his face. His old ugly nose, his old buzzard beak directly off his face, okay? And he falls down and hits his head. Is that okay? Because I said he was a bully? Because I dehumanized him? By the way, I like Robert De Niro as an actor. And I think he's right on vaccines. Hey, buddy, you got censored with a movie you tried to show about vaccine dangers. Donald Trump is putting Robert Kennedy Jr., who you admire, at the head of a commission to find out. This is wounding millions of people a year, killing thousands and thousands. The government knows it's been declassified. Why don't you not get bullied by peer pressure and do the right thing, De Niro, and actually find out how good Donald Trump is? Donald Trump's reenacting Glass-Steagall, something that everybody agrees you need except the globalist, so banks can't run scams. He's trying to get money back to poor people. He's trying to cut taxes on poor people. He's trying to kill carbon taxes. Pull us, the TPP, totally illegal, global government. Talk about checks and balances. Our government had sold us out to it without even having a vote. Trump just killed it. But the media is saying he's ineffectual. Almost had a Freudian slip. He's intellectual. He's ineffectual. He's evil. He's bad. He's horrible. Blah, blah. It's the end of Trump. And then we come back, all the articles where they say, kill him, kill him, kill him, murder him, kill him, and so much more. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So, a lot of people ask me, Alex, why don't you just have fun on a Sunday like this and go watch the Super Bowl? And you deserve to relax. If it was a wholesome event and wasn't filled with anti-gun, anti-family propaganda, and wasn't used to divert men into systems of being ineffectual, ineffective, then I would be for it as a wholesome form of R&R, like mountain climbing or hiking or swimming or playing in sports yourself. But the NFL and all this stuff is just a pointless idol to waste away your life. And it's a joke. And the globalists are laughing at you. And then George Herbert Walker, the author of the World Government Program to get rid of our sovereignty, the guy that was the head of the CIA and the head U.S. ambassador to China, who got the deal through to let giant China take over U.S. Control of much of the planet to leverage out free societies. And then Lady Gaga and the Pope, the globalist Pope, that most Catholics are battling, who's openly calling for world government and bad-mouthing Christianity in Europe and calling for an Islamic takeover, he's going to have some video at the Super Bowl? More like the Super Crapper. It's like the Super Bowl is like a porta potty that has a door on the bottom, and you climb into it when you watch it on television. And then George Herbert Walker Bush and the Pope and Lady Gaga and Madonna and a bunch of spoiled, rotten, roid-head football players and a bunch of other people all come and get inside the porta potty and go to town on you. Pope prepares video message for fans attending Super Bowl. He says sports is healthy and brings us together and we should do it more. Don't have culture, don't have tribalism, don't have family, don't have values, don't have a country, don't have nationalism. Just go to the big corporate sports games with the big rituals and all the Satanism and all the rest of the crud and all the drunkenness. Go to this clearly big, giant, evil event. And now the Pope is one more person that wants to use the porta potty on people. I mean, that's it. The Super Bowl is a big toilet. And when you climb into the Super Bowl, you willingly go in there and open your mouth like a baby bird so Pope Francis can get over your mouth and squat and crap right in your mouth. Now, the reason I bring up Pope Francis in that, I never would talk like that, but he's the Pope. He said a few months ago that if you believe in nationalism or support Donald Trump or question government lies, that you, quote, are someone that takes sexual pleasure in eating feces. And I was thinking about that. Everything they say is the opposite of what it really is. So when you listen to him, you're spiritually communing with that. And by the way, if you're a new listener, just type in, Pope likens conspiracies to the sexual desire for feces. People won't believe it. Let's put it on screen. There it is. Pope Francis compares fake news consumption to eating feces. If you read the actual quote, it's conspiracies. Well, the very same London Guardian ran reports that he used blackmail on the last pope of pedophilia inside the church, which we know is going on, to get control, and he isn't even a Catholic, but is a Jesuit communist. See, the Jesuits were designed to go in and take over non-Christian countries. Well, why not just overthrow Christianity itself? Hillary says she loves Jewitical thinking. Can we put that quote back up on screen though, earlier? Ineffectual. The crew was asking, is that a word? I said, no, it's the same as ineffective. Ineffectual. They're telling us Trump's ineffectual. He's gotten more done than any president in 16 days. He's gotten more done than any president in a year. And it's all good. It's all constitutional. And, of course, the pack of criminals and both political parties and the foreign banks and all of them that think we're broken, think they rule us, are freaking out because they know he's effectual. They know he's effective. They know he's getting it done. The Trump effect. Not producing. We'll put it back on screen. Not producing. This is ineffectual. Not producing any or the desired effect. Lacking the ability or qualities to cope with a role or situation. Same message. He's a loser. He doesn't know anything Obama knows. Obama was a community organizer and was given everything. Forget some guy that made hundreds of billions of dollars total for his companies. Just forget it. He's a loser. And again, why am I so behind Trump? Because right down the line, he's right on everything but torture. And last week, he said, you know what? I've talked to General Mattis, and he's against it, and now I'm against it. And now he's even coming out and saying he's against general surveillance of the public as he learns more. That's what scares them, is Trump's real smart and knows more than I do on most subjects, but as he gets informed, he goes and checks it out and changes course. In fact, he's not pig-headed. When he knows you're lying to him and trying to intimidate him, he comes off as pig-headed, horse-headed, a mule. But anybody ever got anything done in history behaved more like a jackass. So, what are they pushing? What are they doing? Oh, of course I want to punch him in the face. Robert De Niro slams Donald Trump again on The View and says when people are bullies, you have to bully them back. No, the whole world's being bullied right now. Leftist magazine shows Trump in crosshairs, says why not? calls for basically killing him. And then I've got to break down the Democrats this week having the former deputy head of the Defense Department shop a coup at the Pentagon. Imagine you show up at the Pentagon. I'm here. I used to run this place. I'm going to visit everybody about a coup. Wanting Trump to come arrest her. See, that's why they're having people beat up women at all the rallies I saw in D.C. I was there and saw in San Francisco last week and all over. They target women. They target on camera. And they target Trump's family. And they target congresswomen who support Trump's children. And they're trying to get us into a physical fight so that if Trump rightfully has the FBI go after the former head of the Defense Department, the deputy head, it'll be, look, she was just saying remove him and he had her arrested. See, he's a tyrant. I mean, we just attacked a bunch of women and burned things, and then if the police do anything, it's Trump's fashion. In fact, the day after they attack people at UCLA or UC Berkeley, I saw USA Today and it was like, Trump dangerous for free speech. Some are calling for censoring at Berkeley. And it was like, that nasty. And then the next day it was on the news. Some Trump people were attacking women. No, they would show their people attacking women in black outfits and say, we did it. Just like they said when I was attacked, that I was arrested and thrown out of the inauguration. No such thing ever happened. But they don't care. Because they're going after the audience they know is not informed. More than 12,000 tweets have called for Trump assassination since the inauguration, Daily Mail. Rage of Trump's UK critics, astounding, says Lord Kerry, says he doesn't really know what the real crimes are. I love it. It's all these women at women's marches holding up images of women in burqas. And then women, we have this video on InfoWars all over the world saying, I'm converting to Islam because they have such hatred of the West. Yeah, wait till they dump acid on your face because you're caught showing your face in public. The more liberal countries just make you wear a hijab. In most of the Muslim countries, you get your face burned off, but that's okay. In fact, I ought to find that video. It was on InfoWars. I think the headline is, Feminists Call for Women Being Beaten Sharia Law. I mean, it is just... I think Jacobson put it together. It is just, it's just you're there with him going, F you, white male. We love Islam. We love Sharia law. And then you learn a big Sharia law woman ran for Soros the whole D.C. march. And you're like, really? Really? Rage of Trump. Morgan Freeman, Trump has to be a good president. What I see is a guy who will not lose. That's up on InfoWars.com. Morgan Freeman came out and said that to AARP. Trump comes out and has, quote, defended killer Putin on national TV. We've got a lot of killers. You think our country is so innocent. And they talk about, he's a killer. You know, we don't want peace with him. And he says, a bunch of countries are killing. We kill. They kill. We just stop all the war. It's stupid. They only take the quote out of context, Bill O'Reilly, to act like Trump is sitting there pushing anything that Russia does. And I love how he's still friends with Bill O'Reilly, who openly throws him under the bus constantly. So that's just some of the news. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Roger Stone about breaking news inside the White House and more. Then we've got our reporter, Owen Schroyer, on the ground in Houston covering the Super Bowl. That's coming up today throughout the weekday transmission, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'll be covering a lot more news and taking your calls. Also, please support the broadcast. We have one of the biggest specials of last year we're bringing back. 25% off the Alexa Pure water filtration systems are the very best at InfoWarsStore.com and Alexa Breeze air filters, and that ends tomorrow. So take advantage of the water filtration and the air filtration today. These are the very best units at the lowest price, and when they're discounted, 25%, you cannot beat it. InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us.
Answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Roger Stone's coming up in the next segment, but I want to just make a point here. I've been so busy producing broadcast and actually going out and shooting the videos, the live reports, trying to manage the crew that I've not been the best at all the different platforms there are out there to make sure that our live feeds and our podcasts get out to folks. We already dominate to a great extent the internet. Not just, you know, political news, but InfoWars all put together is one of the biggest media outlets in the world. But for me, it's not how big we are. It's how effective we are. And an example is Joe Rogan has one of the top five podcasts in the world. He's been doing it 7.5 years, 90 million downloads a month, 20 million on YouTube. That's 110 million. I was talking to him about it. If you count all the derivative stuff, 200 million people watch or listen to the podcast. Now, some people obviously don't see the whole thing, but 200 million people, that's a lot, okay? Now, InfoWars basically does the same thing or more, but I don't care. It's not about who has the biggest. I went on Joe's show, and I talked to him yesterday, and he said, yes, it's now the biggest ever. And he said he's been on iTunes for 7.5, 8 years since they started. He said it's never happened. They held it up for 1.5 days, and we're going to censor it till there was a backlash. And it's already shot up to the very top of the charts. And, of course, you know, there's hundreds of YouTube versions of it with 1.9 million, 300,000, 400,000, 200,000. 100. I mean, right now there's more than 10 million views of it conservatively. I just went and looked myself. And that was just spending a few minutes to look it up on YouTube. So there's so many versions of it. But I counted 10 million views up just in an hour. And I didn't spend that much time doing the research, or maybe 45 minutes. But the point is that I don't have time to do all this research. I go on there, it's number one ever. And he's had top rock stars, top movie stars, everybody on. Joe's a movie star, TV star, you know, hosts the UFC, one of the top 10 comedians in the country. Sometimes he gets as many as 20,000 people to come hear him speak alone. He sells out the Moody Theater 5,000 every time he comes to Austin. He sells out 4 shows in a row at Cap City Comedy Club that holds like 2,000. The point is he's a big, big celebrity. And my coming on the show is the biggest thing ever happened to it. The point is that I'm sitting there talking to my crew. We think about how iTunes has blocked us having our own podcast, it's video. They won't accept our videos on there. We've gone through the, you know, the process for years. They just kicked Breitbart off. That was in the news. And it's just, we just take it. Oh, you just kick us off because they will dominate it. We'll be number one. Just like we'll dominate everything else we do because we know what we're talking about. And we'll defeat the globalists. Just like Trump's dominating on every front and they want to censor him and shut him down and not let you hear what he really has to say or does. So later, I'm going to play his weekly address, and we're going to play his speeches here. We're going to focus on it because, you know what? I've looked at what he's doing, and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, said, you judge a tree by its fruits. He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. You think I care about personality or Trump coming on the show or telling me he likes what I do? I could care less, except he's the real deal. Then I do care. You understand? I tried to have them all. I had the Clintons try to recruit me. I had Bush try to recruit me. I've had the biggest radio networks try to recruit me. I was even put on all sorts of big stations and XM and then told, now, Alex, people are upset with what you're saying. You want to be taken off XM? And I said, I never even made a big deal of that. I said, yeah, I can't stop. A month later, I'm off. Just like I've been fired off radio stations. I mean, you know, this is not about me, okay? It's about the mission. But I'm telling you, I've won all the Super Bowl rings in the radio world. Okay, you know, this guy's looking for his 5th or 6th ring or whatever it is. I deserve 15, but I don't want the stinking rings. They're ridiculous. The point is, imagine winning every time being number one. And I'm not just number one. Look at Paul Watson. He's dominating. Does he get any attention? No, because they have to ignore the real victors.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
This is the heart of 1776.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Huge nationwide protests erupted once again on President Donald Trump's second weekend in office.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
From the front lines of the InfoWar, it's Alex Jones.
There they are, beating up white people.
Oh my goodness, poor white people. Please, oh my, stop.
The Democratic Party is such a race-mongering KKK-style group now that you saw the new DNC chair, who's been nominated. She said, I'm white, but I will keep white people down. I will shut them up. And I'll make sure you, a people of color, get the privilege. That is literal KKK talk. Meanwhile, Trump, but inverted, is like, we're going to come together. Nothing can stop us. And they run around saying he's racist all day. While the Clintons sucked billions, $2 billion. This is confirmed. Even the Washington Post admits it. Kept 96%+ of the money in Haiti. We sent an aid mission there. And the people of Haiti, if you say the word Clinton, want to kill you. It's all on InfoWars.com. And so Roger Stone's really concerned about this because we've discovered what appears to be a Clinton mold inside the Trump White House that wants to basically take control of an initiative out to Haiti and certify the new Clinton viceroy or vice king or minion or puppet that's there. But I don't want to spend all our old 30 minutes, we have our 25 minutes with Roger Stone on that. I want to just recap it, the Dr. Jerome Corsi article from Friday, the interview I did with Roger for the Nightly News. That's all up on InfoWars.com. But this is a big deal. I want to get into some of the other stuff, this ruling. You know, in fact, let's hit that first. Roger, we have this ruling, and we have one federal judge at the same level saying, you know, citing history, the law, the executive order. Of course the president can do this. Then you've got this other federal judge, this George W. Bush minion, this open borders guy, the Soros-style guy, saying, no, you can't. And then the Ninth Circuit, that's San Francisco, totally socialist, saying, we're going to wait till you file more information. Well, it's known powers of presidents to do this, so they're trying to make law from the bench preemptively, even though they know he's about to get his Supreme Court justices in. And then you see the open calls in another 15 newspapers a day, I mean more than that, to kill Trump. This is clear insurrection. And then you have the deputy head of the Defense Department under Obama shopping in major newspapers a coup d'etat. That's not free speech. This is open, organized rebellion against the elected president that the American people have because they're so desperate. Rogers?
No, Alex, I think you're absolutely right. The resistance to the election of President Trump continues. The many in the mainstream media and many in the government intend to pull out the stops in an attempt to smear Trump and remove him. None of this has abated. It's as if the election never really took happen. It's as if their challenge of the Electoral College didn't fail. It's as if their recount wasn't essentially a worthless waste of time that ultimately increased the number of votes for Donald Trump. So the biggest problem, I think, right now, Alex, is the infighting within the Trump administration, where I think some aides to the president are disserving the president with their leaks. Nixon would be rolling in his grave. Now,
by the way, we know some of the names. We're trying to be nice here. We know about the dirty tricks behind the scenes. These people need to stop right now.
Well, look, this is a power game. And Steve Bannon is entirely focused on policy matters, where he is simpatico with the president of the United States. Steve Bannon is Trump's brain story, as planted by some who are not friends of Steve Bannon, is meant to hurt Bannon's standing with the president, making it look as if Bannon is taking credit for the president's accomplishments.
Sure, because the president has his agenda, his will, that is synced because they're both Americana guys. It doesn't mean one or the other, you know, is controlling the other. He picked him because he's so synced with him or simpatico, as you said. And so they're busy spending all their time trying to run him out because they know he's the guy helping the president actually go vet and check and then put his agenda out, which we've already seen in beautiful lightning war fashion in the last 16 days.
That's exactly right. And you very clearly have now a Reince Priebus, regular Republican, never Trump faction, which is the larger faction because Priebus has sway and authority over the hiring of the White House staff. When the president gave him this authority, he gave him quite a bit. Now, there is grumbling among many of the original Trump people that a very, very small number of Trump supporters seems to be serving on the White House staff or even thus far in the administration. So that is a kind of a festering problem. In fairness, the president's only been in office for 2 weeks, and it's a little early to say. But I would point out to you, Alex, that when Jim Baker, who had managed George Bush's campaign, was hired by Ronald Reagan to be his White House chief of staff, the first thing Baker did to insulate himself from criticism is to go out to a large number of high-level Reagan alum from his gubernatorial days, from his campaigns, like Lynn Nofziger and others, and appoint them to visible positions in the administration.
That's right. Let me say it in layman terms here. Trump's super smart, has great guts, great instincts. I'm not second-guessing him. I marvel at what he's done. But he's brought in a disproportionate amount of his hardcore never-Trump enemies, and they're surrounding him, and they're already doing weaselly stuff. They're already leaking, and the Republican establishment's already not backing him on this clear situation with protecting our sovereignty and from terrorists. And so Trump is a corporate guy who's used to taking over a company. And, you know, if he puts in the old leadership that was still doing a good job, they're still going to be for him because now he's just the owner. I think there may be some instinctual blind spots here because I know he thinks he's going to co-opt them for our agenda by being nice to them and still letting them have power. He doesn't understand that they joined the globalists because they have a twist of evil, a twist of Cain, and they've been promised even bigger things if they can kill the king, and that this is kind of a let's stab Julius Caesar to death here.
Well, I happen to know for a fact that both the New York Times and the Washington Post were granted access to Reince Priebus, Kellyanne Conway, and Steve Bannon on the record on Friday. And if you listen to all of them, we're one big happy family. There are no tensions. There is no jockeying for White House positions or government positions. That is, I understand, what they're supposed to say as good soldiers. And as I say, those who have leaked do a disservice to the president. So their fighting is not in the open. Their fighting is subterranean, as it were, but it is really hurting the president. Somebody leaked to the Washington Post last week that Trump was like a clueless child in a particular meeting. These are people who work for Trump. It's also not true, anybody who's met him.
So, well, sure, and I mean, let's just, oh my gosh, Trump is so slick, it's unbelievable. But the point is, I'm going to come back and talk about this. We've got the bureaucrats, and I read this Friday, I made some calls, and so far I have three confirmed sources that the Pentagon believes that this Obama strike list that was given to Trump the day he visited the CIA, that Obama had the green light to strike, he knew they were Al-Qaeda, ISIS bases, and said, no, don't hit them, that they may have forwarded to the Saudi Arabians that strike list to set up our troops to set up Trump.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups.
You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You know, I've admired Ron Paul and known him and been a friend, I guess, for 20 years. I've been interviewing him, 21 years. Maybe friends the last 10. But it's not the same as it is with Trump. Trump is so fire-breathing, so energetic, so cunning, so real, and he's having results so amazing that it just makes me be endeared to Trump. I'm ready to die for Trump at this point. And I'm already ready to die for America. It's the same feeling I have for America because he is America. You're America. It's the same way I get endeared to people I know that have fought hard and lost legs or arms for this country and just how hardworking and good they are. Now, compared to the average person who's lazy and doesn't care, I just feel humble to be around those type of people because I study policy. I'm a policy wonk. And I know that Trump and Bannon really know what's happening. They're really trying to cut taxes. They're really trying to get loans to small businesses. They're really trying to get us out of carbon taxes and Obamacare. And they're doing it. They're delivering. And it's so well thought out. It's so good. I've studied history. I've covered politics for 25 years, 21 on air. And I've never seen anything like this. This is bigger than 1776 if Trump can deliver. And then I see all of the news. I've got articles today. Ha ha, there's tens of thousands of bureaucrats that are going to leak everything you're doing militarily and sabotage you. That's called treason. That's executionable. And then I saw that earlier in the week, and then I started seeing articles going, well, word is they leaked about that mission and the list because it was so effective. And you know, Obama doesn't want Al-Qaeda and ISIS to get rolled up because Hillary and Saudi Arabia and all of them were behind them. And then I made some phone calls. One of the calls hadn't come back yet, but I called others, and they said, yes, that's what's being looked at. They were ready for them when they got there. And we know Obama wouldn't green light these lists that the Navy SEALs and Special Operations and the Green Berets and the Delta Force wanted to go after. So that's what happened. And the CIA came to Trump and said, here's a list of a whole bunch of targets we've had for 6 months. Obama won't hit them because it's his real command bases. And Trump said, well, let's have meetings about it. They said, okay. They said, hit them then. That's what you're saying. And then that now moles in those very groups have now leaked the end of the list so that when our forces show up to take out the worst terrorists in the world, they're waiting for them. Roger, I'm going to hold you a little bit in the next segment so you can finish up. We got about 6-7 minutes left here. But this is just such treasonous garbage to realize he's such a David versus Goliath. How could you not just be endeared by this? This is so epic.
Well, because, Alex, Washington never changes. And the same people who have been running things for 30 years like the status quo. The status quo works.
In fact, didn't they say Bay of Pigs was really to set up Kennedy and make him look bad?
Yeah, I mean, look, the CIA has a track record that is unenviable when it comes to truth-telling. They lied about torture in Iraq. They lied about Benghazi. They lied about Iran-Contra. They lied about Vietnam. They lied about the Kennedy assassination. That's what they do. They lie.
And that's why Brennan was so arrogant, outgoing, is they're going to Bay of Pigs the president trying to protect the country because they're allied with the GD Islamicist.
Meanwhile, Alex, the previous co-option of the Trump campaign or the Trump movement, I predict will come next in a series of fights over high-profile ambassadorships. Now, as you know, these ambassadorships have always had a political tint. Almost every president has appointed a major donor of theirs to the Class A embassies. So, for example, Nixon appointed Walter Annenberg, a media executive, a major donor to Richard Nixon, to the Court of St. James, the British ambassadorship. It was revealed this week in an incredible piece by Pamela Geller, that Priebus is pushing a man by the name of Duke Buchan III a Bush supporter, a Jeb Bush supporter, who only later comes to the fight in the general election, gives Trump $900,000. That $900,000 is reported on the Federal Election Commission sites and very briefly on Open Secrets, but then suddenly disappears. Mr. Buchan has a long history of federal investigations in the regulatory area. He has conflicts of interest pertaining to his participation in federal contracts. And last but not least, Mr. Buchan's partner in a hedge fund business is the is a high-ranking official in the Chinese Communist Party.
Whoa. So here's the bottom line. Trump's counting on his captains to bring him good people. He's good. But here's the second part of the story. I've seen him do this before. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're going to put bad people in, get the money, Trump won't know, and then burn him saying he broke his promises. Remember Gingrich saying, don't worry, he's not going to drain the swamp. Don't worry, he's going to hire lobbyists. He's had a lifetime ban on him. So Trump's trying to deliver, but they're going to sabotage him, get the money for it, and then blame him.
Well, and the important thing to understand here is that Mr. Priebus is interested in rewarding the party donors as opposed to rewarding the Reagan donors.
And or the Trump donors.
Pardon me, the Trump donors. I misspoke.
It's the same story, though.
It really is, quite sadly. Also, Alex, I wanted to mention to you that for some reason, despite the phenomenal launch of the Making of the President 2016, how Donald Trump orchestrated a revolution, which is doing extremely well, was number one on Amazon this week in new releases, Barnes & Noble refuses to post any reviews of the book, period.
By the way, the book is available, The Making of the President 2016, discounted already 20%, $19.95, InfoWarsStore.com. For a limited time, all of them will be signed by Roger Stone and myself, InfoWarsStore.com. I have them in stock. It is already number one on Amazon.com. Number one on Amazon.com for political book, already in the top 20 total, but they don't care. You heard it. Barnes & Noble won't even list it, and it gets worse. We're going to come back briefly and talk about this, Roger. The Joe Rogan podcast has been delisted from YouTube, even though it has millions of views, and iTunes was trying to delist it as well because we talked about Podesta and we talked about Wiener and the child porn charges. What do you make of this censorship?
It is unbelievable, Alex. I'm just reading this here. It's extraordinary that the ongoing effort to silence us just doesn't stop. And when I read that David Brock is in conversations with the government as to which websites to block as fake news, I shake my head.
Now I'm asking, how is David Brock, when Trump's in now, still deciding that you can't see InfoWars or you can't see your book? I mean, again, because Trump's surrounded by a bunch of scum. Let's just say it. Washington's a swamp. He can't even get personnel that aren't backstabbing pieces of crap.
Big Brother, mainstream media.
Big Brother, mainstream media.
You want answers?
Government cover-ups. You want answers?
So do we.
Well, so does he.
Yeah!
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I know I'm not manly. I got a bunch of cattle, but no hat. I'm not watching the Super Bowl right now with kickoff happening with George H.W. Bush doing the coin toss. That happening right now, we probably should put that on screen, actually. Because it's just a bunch of globalists that are hated trying to go to a popular event and force themselves on us. I'm boycotting it. You see, my country and my world's under attack by globalists. Oh, yeah, it's happening right now. I've got to fight the New World Order. Here, let's hear this right now. Let's cover this propaganda. Here we go. No audio. Here we go. Oh, he was able to flip it. Let's see who gets it. It's the coin toss right now. Roger Stone's with us. Coverage of the live Super Bowl. Did I ever tell you guys I wanted to call the live feed today? Coverage of Super Bowl 51? Because we're doing it. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. We have audio. Let's turn it up.
At this end of the
so who got it?
Good luck, gentlemen.
Even pay attention to this stupid crap. Oh, thank you, sir, for your world government. It's these people that everybody hates.
The 41st president of the United States.
The 41st president of the United States battling Trump.
George H.W. Bush.
Battling America, selling us out to China.
Navy pilot shot down.
The super satanic egomaniac, skull and bones, satanic rituals.
In this
recovering Super Bowl propaganda, not wanting to even take their transmission. Do we even pay attention to who got the coin toss right there? I'm glad we don't even know. It's the possums versus the dirtbags. Seriously, though, we're not just saying we got censored. It was in the news that CNN, MSNBC were banned by David Brock at Media Matters, the main Soros operative. 2 weeks before Trump got into office, he was president-elect. Obama passes a law, signs it, to put the CIA over media to, quote, ban fake news, Drudge Report and InfoWars and Breitbart. Now, Trump's so busy trying to turn the economy on, he doesn't even know that they've got advising Congress right now, Brock, on what websites to ban and shut down when he wants his chief presidential advisor's site shut down, even if it was fake news, which it's not. You don't have a right to shut it down. We're not North Korea. And now, this book, which we're selling, everybody should get it. We need funds to fund ourselves. It could be a piece of toilet paper. You should buy it for $19.95. Hell, for $30, it's a big old thick, juicy color photos, making of a president 2016, how Alex Jones got Trump's ear. It's all in here, and they're trying to censor it because it went to number one on Amazon political, and it usually goes to number one after that. They don't want this to be made into a movie. They want to block us. They want to ignore the fact. And again, the Joe Rogan podcast hit number one on the front page of YouTube in the trending section everybody goes to. They just blocked it. And then for a day, they blocked it on iTunes. I talked to Joe yesterday. He says it's already the biggest thing they ever had. He sees the internal numbers. They're even blocking that from the public. So again, everything we do is number one, number one, number one, number one, number one. You're told what America wants is what's number one. No, they give you the false number one. Everyone has got to go and get the making of the president 2016. You know, it's nutraceuticals and T-shirts and stuff that fund us and other sponsors. I mean, if I sell 50,000 copies of this book, the percentage I make, it's not going to fund a lot, but it'll help the operation. That's not what matters. This is a great historical book. And they're trying to censor it. Infowarsstore.com. You get the book and then buy 10 of them. Give them to friends and family. Get aggressive in the info war. Going back to my friend Roger Stone, I wasn't going to go off on a jag about this, but we're truly being censored. Used to, if something got censored, it made it cause celeb. And I guess we kind of are. But man, we're really getting censored. And you hit my hot button as we were ending the segment when you pointed out, yeah, Brock is still in there. I guess going to decide, you know, who Trump has in the press corps. Go ahead.
Well, Alex, it is absolutely true that both the New York Times and the Washington Post requested copies of my new book in advance. And of course, we supplied them, as is the normal case. They have to date written nothing. They intend to write nothing. I'm happy to say the book has gotten very widespread publicity on Breitbart News and in other leading alternative outlets, which I think that plus InfoWars has helped, generate the rise of the book in terms of the international rating. We are this close to making the New York Times bestseller list. It is entirely conceivable. We'll know within about the next couple days. So buy your book at InfoWars or any place else where the book is sold. To help us
as a political statement, as a political statement. But regardless, doesn't the New York Times make itself obsolete? Because they've been caught saying before, we're not going to report on conservative books that make the best list.
Yeah, I mean, their bias is manifest. And I think it is obvious. But this book, I think, has a broader appeal than just liberty-minded conservatives and Trump supporters. Because I explain from a mechanical and analytical point of view, how Trump managed to pull this off and how, in all honesty, Hillary and Bill Clinton were asleep at the switch.
That's right. This book shows how the establishment was delusional, is delusional, and isn't about the past. It's about the future. I finally read the whole, I read a third of it when I first got it before I left town last week. I went to LA to be on Joe Rogan's show, read part of it on the plane there and then back. Amazing job. And again, Will your book save the world? No, but all of our actions together will, and the system is truly panicked right now. And I want our listeners to understand something. Today I went out and shot videos down at the UT Sports Stadium about the Super Bowl with that as a backdrop. I could hardly shoot the live feed because half the cars, you can hear it on tape, that drove by were saying, yay, Alex, we love you, Alex, Alex. Black people, white people, Hispanics, a Hispanic guy with a white girl, a black guy with a little Chinese lady or whatever. All, humans of all types, we're all the same people. And it's getting to where, that's actually yesterday, but it's getting to where I can't even do these reports because so many folks come over. If the listeners simply reach out next level and keep telling neighbors, friends, family, folks about InfoWars.com and the forbidden information and your book and what we're doing, it's going to explode packs. What I'm saying is I think Trump is a manifestation of the huge awakening. What do you think, Roger?
I think you're absolutely right, Alex. I think that that our opponents, our enemies, as it were, are on the wrong side of history. Donald Trump has come along at exactly the time to break the yoke of globalism and to expose the entire mainstream media phony screed.
All right. Well, listen, in closing, I'm going to let you go. We got 2 minutes left. Other big things to watch for. What's happening?
Well, you identified a very important one. Tomorrow is the faux inauguration of a man named Jovenel Moise, who claims to be the legally elected president of Haiti. He is part of the Clinton gang that have subjugated that party, stole 80% of the earthquake aid, and now seek to install this gentleman who's been in two disputed elections. The first one was so flawed, so dirty, so stolen, they threw it out. Now, to our shock and surprise, Omarosa Magol, Omarosa of The Apprentice, now working as a Trump White House aide, recommended that the president send a delegation from the White House. This would not be an official government or State Department delegation, of course. It wouldn't connote recognition legally. But it sends all of the wrong signals. These are the people who raped the country. They are trying to install a puppet government.
No, I get it. They want his unofficial certification, and this is him only helping the Clintons as their foundation dies. Trump doesn't know about this. How do we make a big noise in 20 seconds to make sure Trump doesn't do it?
The answer, I think, is Rex Tillerson, who is the Secretary of State and whose wheelhouse this issue is in. And we're going to be reaching out to the new secretary very soon. Alex, stay tuned.
All right. Thank you, Roger. We'll talk to you more. StoneColdTruth.com. Get the book, The Making of a President 2016. It's all part of the victory. Give the gift of information. Buy the book. Give it as a gift. We'll be back from the Super Bowl live coverage straight ahead.
These are our people.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders.
Who are they?
These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
What's crazy is that is an intro
Alex Jones show
from like a 1950s BBC production of 1984. Our enemies are not dark armies of third world people. It's globalists manipulating different human groups against each other. But that doesn't mean we can just then open the border up and bring in giant masses of people into a globalist program they mean to destroy all of us with. Milo Yiannopoulos is on the show tomorrow on the phone. I'm trying to get him on via Skype. And he's invited me out to do a live broadcast with him in Miami next week. I'd love to do it, but we'll see if I have time. I can't just jet set out to be on Joe Rogan over here. But we are reaching a lot of people this way, so why not? But I'm really sick of being called a homophobe constantly. Maybe that'll help. But actually, he's always being demonized, even though he's gay, for not wanting to ban free speech. So it's a very scary time. Now, Owen Schroyer is a great reporter for InfoWars, and you notice usually he's very pro-police officer, very, pro-law and order. But I sent him to Houston with three of our reporters, and they've all split up, and he is really upset. He's not inside the Super Bowl. He was telling our crew that you can be like a half mile away. They're not letting you walk down the street as a reporter in Texas. And I know the police chief down there. I'm friends with him, R.D. Cepeda, but he just got down there. I could probably call his cell phone. I could right now. In fact, I could call the police chief right now. I might actually do that and say, what are you doing? They're not letting you talk to people on the streets of Houston?
So, Alex, there's a weird dynamic happening now. And law enforcement knows who we are. They know who I am. And we saw a little bit of it in Washington.
We're going to try to boost your mic because you don't have external mic. You've got internal mic on. I love you guys. I sent like four people there. How are you by yourself, bro?
We just get separated, and you can't get them out. All the streets are blocked. I'd have to walk 5 miles to get to the other side of the stadium. Now there's a helicopter. The Texas DPS is actually hovering right above us here. I'll try to get a shot.
Yeah, show us. Now, this is really bad audio. Can you guys boost this so folks can hear it, or do I have to get out of this interview? Because I can barely hear. Does that mean the crowd can hear? All right, well, I can barely hear him. You're saying it's fine on air, so I believe it. That he is definitely above you, Owen. So the police know who you are, and you're an evil reporter. They've always been ordered to, like, stop reporters talking to people. Because what they don't want is they don't want anybody getting publicity but the big corporations, obviously. Lady Gaga and... George Herbert Walker Bush and the other New World Order people. So, I don't even care if you're on screen. Just get up next to the mic or aim the camera at the helicopter and then get up against the mic on the phone since you're hooked up wrong and tell me what they're doing to you, Owen.
All right. Is that better? Can you hear me now, Alex?
That's better. Go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't know what's going on. This helicopter just started hovering right above me. Literally just started hovering.
No, I see it. So tell us what the police are doing to you. This is very shameful.
So here's the story. So in Washington, D.C., some of the police knew who we were, and they said, you know, hey, we got your back, you know, let's not see any violence. And then in Austin, some of the police knew who I were, and they said, hey, Schroyer, you know, try not to antagonize too much. But they never stopped me from actually speaking to people. Alex, I caught it on video. I'm over here talking to the protesters, and the cops made me leave. They made me leave, Alex. I couldn't believe it. And here's the thing. And the helicopter's going away now. Can you hear me better, Alex?
Yes, I can.
This is an interesting dynamic that I think we need to talk about. So, you know, I've had run-ins with police that make you dislike police, right? We've always been against the police state, but we see how the globalists are trying to use.
Sure, they're trying to make them the enemy. They're trying to cause a clash of civilizations, exactly. A civil war, and so the average cop is not at fault for what's happening in the country.
And we recognize that. But what's happening now is, and I blame this on the protests that have gotten violent. So the protests have gotten so violent.
No, it happened to me in D.C. They'd be beating me up, and I would fight back, and the cops would come threaten me. You know, I experienced it.
So now they're just shutting down free speech, Alex.
No, that's what it is. Bring the Muslims in. Bring the Muslims in. They shoot and bomb and stab. So all of us lose free speech, not to make them mad. The Black Lives Matter people come out and say, kill cops, everything. We go expose them. And the answer is we're bad because we're antagonizing the dumbasses. We're using our free speech. It's America against the problem.
And Alex, there wasn't any... All the protesters that I've been talking to have been nice people. Nobody's out here being violent. We were just having...
So obviously that it's not a Soros group. What is this? I mean, what protest group is it?
Well, the group that I'm talking about right now was an anti-North Dakota pipeline. They're anti-pipeline.
Okay, so those are environmentalists. You know, they got a reasonable point. Okay, I get it.
And they were talking, and we were just having a conversation, and I'm talking to this one guy...
Wow, so you finally found real protesters that'll talk to you.
And I have to give them credit, Alex. There's actually the people that I've ran into out here that are demonstrating have all been peaceful. They've all had good points. They've all been able to back them up.
And let's be clear. Normally, that's not the case.
Right. And we've documented that, hundreds of times now.
Well, I can't wait till you upload this cop. I mean, these police, what'd they say to you?
So I'm just standing here. I'm talking to these people. And the cop just comes and he just shoves me away. He says, quit talking, quit agitating.
And then and the whole thing, literally, the cop is literally just pushing me away from them. I'm saying, this is my First Amendment. You're stopping my First Amendment. He goes, you're agitating. You're instigating.
No, I mean, I know what the orders were. It was probably don't let there be a riot at the Super Bowl. Stop it at any cost. But, I mean, just because at Berkeley they beat people up doesn't mean you lose your First Amendment. I'm sorry. I'm gonna call Arde Saveda. I should try it right now. Hold on. Keep going.
Well, and it's strange because, again, it's not like we were getting violent. We were just having a conversation. I'm literally just talking to this guy. I'm filming. He's talking. He's telling me why he's protesting. And I get shuffled off by the police. And I, look, dude, there's eight police on every block. There's a total police state here in Houston. I'm having to do this broadcast live. I don't want the police to be my enemy. I don't want to talk bad about the police, but they're stopping my First Amendment right.
That's hold on, I got two numbers for Arde Saveda. Let me see if he answers.
So now I have to sit here in front of the police and complain about how they're stopping my First Amendment right. And they all look at me like I'm the bad guy. No, you stopped my First Amendment right. And it wasn't...
Hello?
Hey, hold on. Hey, police chief, how you doing?
You can hear me. I can't hear you. Just text me.
Are you inside the Super Bowl?
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me, Art? Yeah, I just called the police chief. Well, so I'm going to call him once the show's over. I'm going to get it. He's probably inside the Super Bowl. Did you hear that? That's hilarious.
That's crazy.
He used to be the Austin police chief. He's a nice guy. He's really responsive, and he never did that here in Austin. In fact, the cops got better about free speech when he was here. He had some problems, too. But you know, in his heart, he didn't like, you know, the whole socialist. You know. He's a Cuban-American, so he doesn't like communists. That's a positive thing. But I will get to the bottom of this. I'm going to call him, all right?
All right.
For whatever reason, he couldn't hear me. So, listen, we only have a few minutes left in the broadcast. What are there other points to make here?
We need to bring this to a head, Alex. The protesters that are protesting Donald Trump, they say they don't want a dictator. They're protesting Donald Trump because they're afraid he's going to be a dictator. They're afraid about martial law and the police state. They don't realize that their actions are going to make Donald Trump a dictator. Their actions are going to bring in the police state. It's already happening, Alex. It's already happening. And it's all because of the George Soros violent protest. He's going to get what he wants. He's going to get what
no,
he wants.
No, that's it. They destabilize and they have a soft civil war. Then they take all of our rights when they did it. Just like Obama floods us with unvetted Islamicists. Trump finally tries to do something because of all the terror attacks. And then they call. And then they have a judge block him and say the president doesn't have the power to do that when he clearly does.
Yeah, they say it's unconstitutional when there's literally bills that say it's well within his legal stature to make the moves that Donald Trump has done. But again, it's not even about policy to these people, Alex. You can try to talk to them. They don't know the first thing about policy. They don't.
No,
know
I understand. Well, listen, you're doing a great job. Do some live feeds out there. Go try to talk to protesters again when the cops come over and say, hey, I'm live on air. Just say, we're calling Arde Saveda. What are your orders? I'm not agitating. Just because you define me talking to a crowd, I wouldn't talk loud, though, as that doesn't mean that's so, or do whatever you want, but upload that video, too. You're doing a great job. I'm out of time. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, Alex, I love you. I'll get that video up right now.
You bet. More feeds at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. A lot of articles, stuff I didn't get to. There's so much there, folks. Check it out. The live shows are great, but there's so much there. The big sale ends today, or tomorrow. 25% off water filtration, air purifiers, the very best, InfoWarsStore.com. Nutraceuticals, great products, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. I want to thank you all and thank the crew as well. See you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.